Welcome to Between the Lines, where we explore the rich tapestry of the Bible's teachings and revelations with your hosts, David and Jonathan. Thanks for joining us on WVFF 97.7 FM as we seek to understand the deeper meanings behind the verses and discover the love of Christ and hope of his salvation. Without further ado, our hosts, David and Jonathan.
Good morning. You're here with David and Jonathan on WVFF 97.7 FM Veterans for Freedom Radio. The program is Between the Lines, understanding the Bible in ways you have never imagined. You got to read between the lines. You got to look at each word. You got to ponder, and you got to read it over and over and over again. God has hidden things in there. He even said, "I hid things in there, and it does my heart good that kings search it out." We're in chapter 15 of Exodus. So far, we've come through Genesis, Exodus. Now the children of Israel have left Egypt, and Pharaoh's heart hardened by God for the reason we said that God would show these people that he is even bigger than the prince of the world who was Pharaoh at the time. He hardened his heart, and now we just seen the crossing of the sea where the waters were spread. The Israelites went across. We seen the Pharaoh send his men in there after him. And did you ever see that God took the chariot wheels off? You got to read real close there, because they were advancing on them while they were traversing the sea. God took the chariot wheels off, and at that point, the good old boys in the army said, "You know what? This is a futile effort. We got to get out of here." But it was too late at that point, and the Israelites cleared the sea, and Moses raised his arms, and the sea overwhelmed them. Chapter 15 of Exodus. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, "I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and the rider hath he thrown into the sea." And that is still sung today, and that's what God said. I want your exodus out of Egypt to be a memorial to me. By my strong hand I have brought you out. I want every generation to remember and to know what happened here. The Lord is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him an habitation, my father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his host hath he cast into the sea. His chosen captains also are drowned in the Red Sea. The depths have covered them. They sank into the bottom as a stone. Thy right hand, O Lord, is become glorious in power. Thy right hand, O Lord, hath dashed in pieces the enemy. And in the greatness of thine excellency thou hast overthrown them that rose up against thee. Thou sentest forth thy wrath, which consumed them as stubble. And with the blast of thy nostrils the water were gathered together. The floods stood upright as a heap, and the depths were congealed in the heart of the sea, made firm in the heart of the sea. The enemy said, "I will pursue, I will overtake, I will divide the spoil. My lust shall be satisfied upon them. I will draw my sword, my hand shall destroy them. Thou didst blow with thy wind, the sea covered them. They sank as lead in the mighty waters. Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? Thou stretchest out thy right hand, the earth swallowed them. Thou in thy mercy hast led forth the people which thou hast redeemed. Thou hast guided them in thy strength unto thy holy habitation. The people shall hear and be afraid. Sorrow shall take hold on the habitants of Palestina. Then the dukes of Edom," you know who that is, that's Esau's fellows, "shall be amazed. The mighty men of Moab, trembling, shall take hold upon them. All of the inhabitants of Canaan shall melt away. Fear and dread shall fall upon them by the greatness of thine arm. They shall be as still as a stone till thy people pass over, O Lord, till the people pass over which thou hast purchased. Thou shalt bring them in and plant them in the mountain of thine inheritance, in the peace, in the place, O Lord, which thou hast made for thee to dwell in the sanctuary, O Lord, which thy hands have established. The Lord shall reign forever and ever. For the horse of Pharaoh went in with his chariots and with his horsemen into the sea, and the Lord brought again the waters of the sea upon them. But the children of Israel went out on dry land in the midst of the sea. And Miriam the prophet, the sister of Aaron, took a timbrel in her hand, and all the women went out after her with timbrels and with dances. And whoever said a woman cannot be a ranking member of God's church.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Right in Exodus.
There you go. Doesn't start any sooner, and there are many in this Bible. And Miriam answered them, "Sing ye to the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea." Speaking on that, women shall not speak in the congregation. Women shall not be the deacons or the pastors of churches. You know what it says in the New Testament? It says, in Christ there is neither male nor female.
The original Adam.
There you go.
Made
the original
man and
woman. Adam made them and male and female and called their name Adam.
That's yes, sir.
Correct.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, good job there, Jonathan. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur, and they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. Let's just back up just for a second. Do you see all that praise that they were heaping upon God? There was a massive party on the other side of the Red Sea. I mean, it broke out into a mass celebration, singing and dancing, and the Lord is so powerful and mighty. There's nothing that he can't do. Look what he just did to the mightiest army in the world. And all these things he did to get us out of Egypt. Oh, he is an amazing, amazing, amazing God. The ultimate power in the universe. And we are safe in his hands. Just wait a few days.
He just wrote a whole song about it.
Yes, wrote a song. But wait a few days and watch the minds of these Israelites. Because they are double-minded, they go with the flow of the air. Whatever way the air is flowing, today it's flowing with God. Tomorrow it's flowing with, woe is me, we should have never left. I stubbed my toe on that rock, and I would be better off in Egypt. Instead of wandering out here in this rocky terrain.
Yes.
All right.
At least we had dirt, sand, floors.
That's right,
no rocks.
Yes. I never stubbed my toe in Egypt.
Yeah.
You're with David and Jonathan, and you know what? It's okay to celebrate the Bible. It's okay to have fun reading the Bible. It's not just a stately book for those with ties around their necks.
Yes.
Okay? This is God's Word, and God is the God of love and happiness. Verse 22, David and Jonathan here on Between the Lines, Understanding the Bible, the book of Exodus, verse 22. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur. And they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. The first of many woes is coming.
Oh, yes.
And they came to Marah.
I'm sorry. I imagine Moses' thought, like when he was like, there's no water. What do you mean? Wait, let's.
Yeah.
Do we tell them? No.
At this point, Moses, not completely Aaron, but Moses is absolutely a believer.
Yeah.
He knows God will deal with anything and everything that comes along.
Oh, yeah.
Not so much for his brother, but...
Right.
And when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore, the name of it is called Marah. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? I'm thirsty. I was never thirsty in Egypt. Except for that time when they turned all the water to blood.
Yeah.
But, you know, I just had to go to Goshen. There was good water there.
I think you had something to do with that, if I'm not mistaken.
And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them. And I've often wondered, God is such a practical God, what was the mineral in the water that made it bitter? And what was the tree that had the correct medicine in it to put in that water to take the bitterness away? God says in this Bible there is a remedy and a cure for everything that ails man on this planet. So, you know, that's just the great medicine man himself at work right there.
Right.
And said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of thy Lord, the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians. For I am the Lord that healeth thee. And that verse there kind of goes right in there with the correct medicine, maybe a willow tree or something. But he sent Moses into the forest, get this tree right here,
mm-hmm.
and throw it into the water. Wait such amount of time, and the water will be drinkable. And he says right there, I am the great healer, and I will heal you of all things. And they came to Elim, where there were 12 wells of water, and 70 palm trees. They encamped there by the waters. And you know what? If you look at that little verse 27, it's an oasis. As they numbered the trees, and there were 12 wells of water, probably in the middle of a barren wasteland. Mm-hmm. Chapter 16, the book of Exodus. And they took their journey from Elim, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came into the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month, after their departing out of the land of Egypt. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness, already complaining. Man, we've been walking for days, you know, and we're not making bricks and building monuments anymore, but man, I'm walking for days, and Bob stubbed his toe, and and that time we were without water for 5 hours. You know, it's terrible out here.
I was parched.
Yes, and I'm getting a sunburn. And the children of Israel said unto them, would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, when we did eat bread to the full, for ye have brought us forth unto this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. Now, can you imagine? It's a couple million people out in a big caravan out in the middle of the wilderness. It's going to be difficult to feed that many people. They probably run out of the supplies already that they brought with them. Obviously, they ran out of water.
Right.
And they're not being fed six times a day like they were in Egypt.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
They had the refrigerator in the tent. And every time they go past, they get a little snack bar out of there.
Yeah.
You know, it's a camel bar.
That's right.
But now, you know, they're probably getting fed a couple times a day. And the old belly's just not as fat as it used to be.
We're off a few points on my protein intake.
That's
today.
It. Yeah. Then said the Lord unto Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you. And the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day. A certain rate. Okay, and this is a test of faith. So you go out and you collect X amount only, not one flake of bread more, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or not. Verse 5, chapter 16. And it shall come to pass that on the sixth day they shall prepare that which they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily, so that they don't have to gather on the Sabbath day. And Moses and Aaron said unto all the children of Israel, at evening time, then ye shall know that the Lord hath brought you out from the land of Egypt, as if you didn't know already.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm going to stop your grumblings. I'm going to give you plenty of food to eat. And in the morning, then ye shall see the glory of the Lord, for that he heareth your murmurings against the Lord. And what are we that ye murmur against us? Yes, what are we that ye murmur against us? I mean, we're only God.
Yeah, just...
How dare you? But I'm going to show you. Who do you think you are murmuring against us? And there we see God speaking in the plural again, as he has many times. The book of Genesis, let us make man in our image.
Mm-hmm.
The heavenly host and Christ right there with him. Christ. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. And Moses said, this shall be when the Lord shall give you in the evening flesh to eat, and in the morning bread to the full. So he's going to, it's a two-course meal. You don't have to eat bread all the time. It's going to give you some flesh in it. And it's amazing how he does this. For that the Lord heareth your murmurings, which ye murmur against him. And what are we? Your murmurings are not against us, but against the Lord. And Moses spake unto Aaron, say unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, come near before the Lord, for he hath heard your murmurings. Even you, Bob, in your tent, when you were cursing him, he heard you.
Yeah, he heard it.
Everything. And you, Sally, in your brain, the things that you were saying, yeah, in your mind, he heard that too. Oh, my goodness. And it came to pass, as Aaron spake unto the whole congregation of the children of Israel, that they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel. Speak unto them, saying, at evening ye shall eat flesh, and in the morning ye shall be filled with bread. Ye shall know that I am the Lord your God. And it came to pass that at evening the quails came in and covered the camp, and in the morning the dew lay round about the hosts. And when the dew that lay was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness where lay a small round thing, as small as the hoarfrost on the ground, little tiny wafers. And when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, this is manna. For they wist not what it was. And Moses said unto them, this is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat. Manna from heaven, the food of angels, was given to these disobedient children, these murmurers, these unbelieving, stiff-necked Israelis. And, you know, this is a constant theme through the Exodus. Woe is us. Oh, we love you, God. Woe is us. Oh, we love you, God.
It was like an agitator in a washing machine.
Yes. Oh, and that fast, you know, back and forth and back. You know, it makes no sense. But in God's plan, and this is an orchestrated book, God's plan for the redemption of all mankind has to come from the fact that he has to set the Israelis aside because they decide not to accept Jesus Christ, their Savior, the one that has been, they've been waiting for forever. This all has to happen.
Whenever people do the, they honor the Passover Seder, which is the Passover lamb, night, whenever they do this, the Seder, the layout, all right, they have a bowl of water that they put salt in, which is a representation of the tears and the sweat of what they face in Egypt. Now, in that bowl of water, they dip what's called carpus.
Yeah.
Carpus is common day parsley, but they use that to signify the dipping in the water, and it sweetens the tears, more or less, but it's a signification, or because we're reading through this part of it right now.
Yeah.
But that's what represents,
where it comes from.
But they use that parsley.
Religion growing, and we see it grows into a monster here shortly.
I listened to it last night, oddly enough, and when you said today, like, hey, I wish I knew what it was, I was sitting there going, hitting a mental roadblock, like, yeah, going, what was it? I just saw it last night.
Stay tuned as we continue our journey through the scriptures on Between the Lines, Understanding the Bible. We'll be right back with more insightful discussions and exploration